Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Monday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight's the Predators and Oilers. Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. And everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, tomorrow they'll be in Minnesota to take on the Wild. And it is interesting, the two hottest players for both teams.
Yeah,
Granlund on one, Kevin Fiala on the other.
And it took them both a while to kind of get to point. That's what's so weird. And
what else happened? I was to say, yeah. What else happened in both situations?
Coaching changes. So
yeah, isn't that weird how, for whatever reason, coaching changes, not only changes a voice, maybe a philosophy, a system in a room, but how it affects like certain players, how, you know, one or two players may all of a sudden take off from just a different guy on the bench.
Well, and think about this. Who's the head coach of the Wild?
Who was or is?
Who is.
Right. Came from Milwaukee.
Right. So he's very
familiar.
You're
saying he's got a little time with Kevin Fiala?
Dean Evason, very familiar with Kevin Fiala. So I think that has factored into. And, you know, John Hines, for whatever reason, the system, you know, is working for Mikael Granlund. So, look, sometimes you make some sort of change and it clicks with a guy. And it could be as easy as, oh, no, the head coach got fired. I better take it up a notch. You know, I mean, we don't know. But whatever the case may be, it's working. And that will be an interesting matchup tomorrow night.
Kevin Fiala was named NHL's number one star of the week with 4 goals and 5 assists in 4 multi-point games. So what a week for Kevin Fiala. Ironically, NHL's second star of the week was who?
Second star of the week, I don't know.
That would be Ryan Ellis.
Ryan Ellis. Very good.
So Kevin Fiala, number one star of the week in the NHL. Ryan Ellis, the number two star for the week. Not a bad week for him. A goal and 6 assists in 7 games. Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all. Nice return for him.
Nice return for him is exactly right. He factored into 7 of the 9 goals the Predators had.
I got to say this, and I'll do it when Willie gets here. I mean, we both, you know, Willie kept bringing up Ryan Ellis and having him back and what that was going to do for the team and how important he was to the lineup. We both agreed with that. But we were also like, all right, got to temper your expectations. I mean, he missed 20 games. Don't expect him to just jump right back in and pick up where he left off. And he jumped right back in and picked up where he left off.
Yeah. He did exactly what we were trying to
He showed
temper.
Us.
Yeah, certainly did. So, all right, what do you make of Saturday night? Obviously, they get down 2 goals in the second period. And so they're down 2-0 at the break after 40 minutes. They come back. Victor Arvidsson gets the breakaway. Looked like a little vintage. Victor Arvidsson, with about 5.5 minutes to go, cuts the lead in half to 2-1 Colorado. And then with just over 3 minutes left, it looked like an apparent Dante Fabbro goal to tie it up. The building is going absolutely crazy Saturday night in Smashville, and the Predators have brought the magic again as 2 quick goals late in the game to tie it up at 2. But wait a minute. Colin Blackwell hit with interference. And the goal was negated. There was a penalty. They had to kill off the penalty. And so we know the rest is history. I think we've had enough looks at it.
And then
to know
they scored
that,
on the empty net.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then Callie Arncroak scored a goal with 2 seconds to go. So all that didn't change really anything. But you see it enough, you realize, one, I think it's pretty clear that Blackwell was pushed into the goalie, right? I think you can make that case. 2, you could even make the case that the puck was in the back of the net before a contact was even made.
It looked that way.
And 3, for everybody who was wanting to know, why can't you challenge it? John Hines address that after the game, because you knew that was going to get talked about and discussed, that you cannot challenge that play because there was the penalty. The interference call was, which begs the question, as the GM meetings are taking place.
Yeah, I was about to say.
We don't have David Poile on tomorrow. He's going to be pushed to later in the week because the general managers are meeting. Do they need to address this? Does the league need to fix this? You need to get it right.
Yeah.
And if you would have looked at that, if you would have been able to challenge it, I think I feel pretty good, although we've learned that we may think something was going to go one way and it doesn't go that way after they look at it. I believe they come back and say, good goal.
I thought you hit the nail on the head this morning with Robbie and Alex Apple when you did your hit with them, as you do every Monday at 9, that because they asked you about the refs being held accountable, and you said it's not only the refs. The league has to be held accountable for things like this. And I could not agree more with that. I feel like that you see – and it's not just hockey. You see it in all sports. Now, at the same time, you know, you also pointed out how fast it is. I talked to Dan Hamhuis. You'll hear that in pregame tonight. And Dan Hamhuis said, listen, I don't envy those guys because of how fast everything moves, that you gotta make a judgment call, and sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, it didn't go the Predators' way. But I think that's something that they have to look at, that you should be able to review it no matter what, if a penalty's called or not, because we all saw it in the arena, and in my opinion, they got it wrong. They got it completely wrong. That should have been a goal, and it wasn't a penalty. He got pushed into him. And so I understand that it's bang, 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 and it's a judgment call, but help the refs out by giving them the tool of you buzz from Toronto and say, hey, we need to look at this one, or the ref skates over and said, hey, that happened really fast. Can you guys check it out? I know you don't want to review everything and add an hour to the game because you're constantly looking at every play.
But
like,
you got
to
get
like
it right.
Like the NBA, you can hate on the NBA, but at least they go look at it.
Yeah.
And they make sure that they get it right. So
I want to be time sensitive.
Sure.
But I also want to say, you know what?
Get the call right.
There's jobs on the line. You know?
I mean,
people lose jobs over not making the playoffs.
Right.
There's a lot at stake, especially this time of year, and you just need to get it right. I get it. I mean, we've talked about time a lot, and I'm cognizant of that. Nobody wants these games to go 3 hours, right? I mean, the hockey's done a good job with, it's pretty good. I mean, it's in that 2.5 to 2:45 window every game, right?
Right.
I mean, every once in a while it goes 3 when you get, obviously, overtime. And shootouts, then it's going to go 3. But overall, they're pretty good about it. I think soccer is obviously very good about it. It's the NFL. I mean, you kind of know the window of how long it's going to take for a game.
Right.
Hockey fits in that. But you got to get it right. If it adds a couple minutes, it adds a couple minutes. But you got to get it right.
Well, and I'll say this. And if you want to weigh in on the text line or call in, 615-737-1025, Twitter at 1025 the game. I know a lot of you spend your hard-earned money to go to a Preds game, a Titans game, Nashville SC, what have you. If you're going to put forth that type of cash to go to a game, don't you want to see them get it right? You want to see the team that, the team that earns the win actually earn the win? Now, you and I had this discussion as we were watching all this unfold that I'm not going to get on these airwaves and say, well, they lost the game because of that one call. They lost the game because they couldn't score in the power play. That had a lot to do with it. But
they had about, the first, 4 minutes of third period was man advantage time. And they couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, they had several opportunities.
Well, they started the third. Remember, there was a late call.
Eric Johnson.
With like 14 seconds left in the period.
Right.
So they started the third with basically a two-minute power play. And then there was another penalty right after that expired.
Landeskog with a hooking. So You gotta bury your power play chances. Now, did that call alter the game? Sure, it did. It took a goal away.
I think it's pretty safe to say, even though we know we've seen late goals. Okay, so
right.
I know it's not 100%, but there's high probability that game probably ends tied at 2, and somebody's going to win it in overtime or a shootout. So the point is, it probably cost them at least a point, if not 2 points.
Yeah, and you can make the argument, too, of the empty net goal. You don't give up the empty net goal. Maybe Cale Yarncroke still scores at the end and ties it up and have another buzzer beater. You know, who knows? We'll never know the answer to that. But Yeah, it probably did cost him a point or 2 points. That's a very good way to look at it.
Let's go to Bicycle Boy. What's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I will keep it brief. Chase, you stole a lot of my thunder.
Sorry.
I completely agree. But here's the thing that I haven't heard really discussed. And let me bring it up this way. If the puck goes in the net and bounces out really quick and the refs miss it and play continues, Toronto can buzz the box, and they do, and they blow the horn, they go back, they look at it, they determine it's a goal, the clock gets reset back to the time that the puck crossed the goal line. So now to bring that into what happened the other night, the puck crossed the goal line before the penalty occurred. Why couldn't Toronto have buzzed our
well, I don't know if that's true, though. I'm not sure. Is that your opinion? I have not gone frame by frame to see when the official's hand went up in the air and when the puck crossed the line. So I don't know one way or the other, unless you've seen that where people have said for sure the puck was in the net before the penalty was called. I don't know that. The whole thing is about it being negated because of the penalty.
Not sure that the penalty was called when the penalty was called, but clearly the puck crossed the line before we got crashed into their goalie.
Well, right, I don't know about clearly, but yeah, I suspect from what I've seen, yes, it looks like you could even make the case that the puck was in before contact was made. But
when the penalty was called is important because
I think that's where we got to go with this, because once again, the rule is flawed. And in my opinion, it's flawed because once the penalty is called, right or wrong, it negates everything, and you can't challenge, you can't look at it, you can't buzz. And to me, that's wrong. That's the wrong rule. Going back to your initial point, Bicycle Boy, I don't know. I'd have to look at it frame by frame and to see exactly where the puck was and where his hand was to know if he actually – if the puck was in before he called it.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
it's a shame.
Tonight.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll discuss this a little bit more on the other side because a lot of you want to talk about it. And like you said, Jason, I do appreciate this about John Hines. If you listen to him after games, he doesn't make excuses. And you know, sometimes it's okay to talk about stuff, even if you're not using it as an excuse. But I can also appreciate the fact that he just really doesn't want to send the message like, yeah, that's why we lost. It was a bad call. I think we all can agree. And it may have cost them a point or two. I think we all can agree on that. But I do appreciate the fact that he doesn't get up there and act like that's the reason, you know, they lost a point or two. And maybe that's going back to his
– it, but
it could go back to his messaging to the team of, well, you know, it's a 60-minute game. You got to play a certain way. And maybe this is all part of his plan. But anyway, we'll get into that on the other side. I know more of you want to weigh in. Right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've been at it for a long time, and they've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That's a lot of homeowners, and I'm a homeowner. And if you've noticed maybe your bricks are cracking, or maybe you've got walls bowing, maybe you've been opening and closing a door or a window when we have a nice day like yesterday when it was 66 degrees, and you've noticed the door or the window is sticking, or drywall separating, or a chimney is tilting or leaning. There's a long list of things that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. Well, if it's trying to tell you something, you need to get the experts out to your house, and that's who USS is. They're the experts. And they're going to come out, and they'll give you a free estimate. They'll tell you what's going on, whether you need to address it, or maybe you don't have to worry about it. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and the integrity of their work. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. If something's going on at your house that you need to get USS out to, call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always check out their website, usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
On the right board, tipped out, Belmar backhands it, taken back by Nashville's Blackwell across the line. Johansson Back for Fabro, the score!
Waving
They're wiping it out.
Collision with the goaltender, Francois.
Oh, I see what Elijah did.
That's good.
That's good.
Elijah's thinking. I like it.
He is. He's. It's a good thought right there.
It's one of my better works to date.
No, it's good.
Good stuff. Good. It was a little bit of a heartbreaker here on Saturday night as the Predators fell 3-2 to Colorado. We're talking about that. And speaking of, as we continue to discuss this, and you can discuss it with us by calling 615-737-1025, or you can text us, same number, 737-1025. But what were your thoughts? And we've got some feedback. Also, you can hear Dan Hamhuis in pregame. Chase, you got a chance to talk to him today about that particular play, and he gave you a really good answer. So you're going to want to hear that tonight in pregame as well.
Yeah, he did, because, you know, he's obviously knows Dante Fabro quite well, plays alongside him and has. I know they've mixed and matched some, but, yeah, so you can hear that. A couple of texts. Dan weighs in on the text line. The ref waved off the goal and didn't have a chance to put his hand up for many seconds afterwards. I posted frame by frame on Facebook. No contact was made with the goaltender until puck was within a foot of goalie, and even then it did not impede goalie from making the stop. Puck entered the net before tumbling occurs. I agree with you that this is something the GMs need to talk about and mentioned that in a Ask Hal question. That's from Dan.
Okay, say that again. The first part.
The
from
ref,
Dan.
Yeah, the ref waved off the goal and didn't have a chance to put his hand up for many seconds afterwards. I think that's interesting.
Wait a minute. He waved off the goal before.
So remember, the goal goes in. The ref is there waving it off.
Okay, because I had some people in Barrel House tell me on Saturday, once again, this is all happening, and I'm just – this is hearsay. I have not gone back and literally gone frame by frame. But I had a couple people tell me that one was waving it off and one was saying it was in.
Right. So and I never saw a hand go up for a penalty. And so
I'm watching the action. I was watching the players and the puck. Honestly, from, you know, where I was standing,
yeah,
I wasn't paying attention to the refs.
And we were right next to each other. So we were looking at
the
same
thing. Oh, I wasn't sure if you had gone. Oh, that's right. You didn't go down.
Yeah.
That's right. You were next. I assumed at that point in the game you had gone downstairs.
No, we were standing right
next
to each
other
when it happened.
So you know both of us were looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm puck tracking, and I – you know me, I told you, I read the players. I watch the players, because players will tell you a lot on the ice. If you watch their reactions, if you watch how they handle things when a puck apparently goes in or doesn't go in, watch them. The players will tell you. So I'm watching the action. I wasn't paying attention to the refs. So I literally saw none of that. And I haven't seen anything frame by frame. I've seen reviews. I mean, I've seen slower versions to come up with some of the things I've already threw out there. So Dan was saying what again, just to repeat his text?
And we've gotten a couple of texts, too, that are people saying that the refs always have the intent to blow the whistle, you know, that they
can. Right, we've been through all that.
You know. He said the ref waved off the goal and didn't have a chance to put his hand up for many seconds afterwards. He's gone through it frame by frame. No contact was made with goaltender until the puck was within a foot of the goalie, and even then – it did not impede goalie from making the stop. Puck entered the net before tumbling occurs.
That's so he's saying his first reaction is wave it off, then make the call? Is that what he's saying?
Right. Okay. That's how it appeared to him. And, again, that's where, like, the intent, you know, he could say, well, I intended to call a penalty.
Right.
The puck went in the net,
right,
and so I had to wave it off because I had called a penalty.
And
that's where I think there needs to be – more of a discussion, more of a review process.
Agree. We have the ability to look at this stuff.
Right.
Then let's just get it right.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. Even if when we bellyache with all, remember all the goaltender interference stuff early on, especially where we would be like, that's going to come back or that's going to count, and it would be just the opposite. We can still talk about it. We can still discuss it. We can still bellyache about, we still think it's the wrong call. But here's what I will say. At least they're looking at it. So I can't get too mad or upset because at least they've taken different steps, right?
Yeah.
At least they're willing. It's the same thing with this. Even if they came back and said, well, we looked at it. You know what? interference. It's still interference and no goal. I would say disagree.
But at least you
took
the time.
But at least the league is looking at it and saying, we came back with this. And we could say, well, you came back with the wrong answer.
Right.
You came back with the wrong call. But in this case, we don't even get to know what the league is thinking or what Toronto, anybody was thinking, right? Because
yeah. And that's another
nobody gets to go look at it and come away with either the same call or a different call.
There needs to be more communication from Toronto. And we got a text on this asking, you know, could there be a better review process at a central location? Well, there is. There's the war room in Toronto. And
which
so,
has former officials in that
yes.
room.
And basically it's a setup where they have multiple angles in every game and they can go and look at goals and look at different things. It's just there are rules in place of what they can and cannot review, what coaches can and cannot challenge. And, you know, challenges are still a relatively new thing in the NHL. I mean, it used to just be that you'd get buzz from Toronto and they'd look at a goal or what have you. But I think they have the right setup. I mean, they've gone to this in other leagues that they have a central location, war room, whatever you want to call it, that they can review plays. It's just I kind of think you have to open it up to you can look at anything. Just get it right. And I know that, again, you don't want to add minutes, hours, whatever to a game, but you want to get it right. And this is a situation of where I don't think they got it right. And I think they realize that.
I think most people believe that. And it's like, you know, Robbie and Alex were asking me to if the league when leagues come out and say, hey, we got it wrong, does that make teams? No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Did you change the points? Did you change the standings? Well, no. Then let me crumble up your either delete your email or crumble it up if you
sure.
sent it via mail. I don't think that really goes on anymore. You fax it over. I don't really think that goes on anymore. But however you get it. It means nothing. It
yeah.
literally means nothing. So, great. You admitted you got it wrong. Does anybody who was at the game feel better?
Nope.
Nope. Does it make the team, the players, the coaches, front office feel better? Nope. Does it make anybody at home watching feel better?
Nope.
Nope. So, it means nothing.
Right. And you know what absolutely drives me crazy?
What drives you crazy, Chase?
What did they spend a lot of money on and put up over the summer in Bridgestone Arena?
A big jumbotron.
A huge Fang Vision.
Fang Vision.
Okay. Everybody can see it. Everyone can see it. And what did I see the refs doing when they were trying to sort this mess out? Guess where their heads were?
Peeking up.
They were up. So they were watching everything that we were watching. And by the way, if you didn't know this, I'll let you in on another little secret. There are actually more screens under the
yes,
giant screen.
That is correct.
So the officials' box and the benches can see the same things that we see in the audience. But guess what? They can watch every replay they want on that screen. They cannot make a decision based on what they see on the Fang Vision. And I want to go, why the hell not? It's right there in front of you. And we have all this technology now. All these stadiums and arena have spent bukus of money to put these high-def 4K whatever screens in their facilities. Why can't they use that? And if the ref looks up and he goes, hey, you know what? I think I got that one wrong. Skates over and goes, hey, I need to talk to Toronto.
Because I'll just tell you right now, I said it this morning and I'll say it again. I don't fault the ref. I don't.
No.
Because that play is incredibly hard. The human eye is not trained to do a bang-bang play like
nope.
that. And know frame by frame, as we all can see frame by frame, make a split decision one way or the other. Oh, there was contact, but no, he was pushed. Come on, that play
right.
happens way too fast. The naked eye cannot make that decision. So I don't fault them for that. There are just certain things in sports, whether it's hockey. Hockey is a very fast game. Any sport, just pick a sport. There are certain things that happen that it's not fair to expect them to make the right call with the naked eye in a bang-bang live play. It's just impossible. No matter how good they are,
right.
it's just impossible. And I don't blame them for making what I view and you view and a lot of people out there listening as the wrong call. It was the wrong call, but technology should be able to bail them out of a
yep.
call that was the wrong call and unfair for anybody to have to try to make because it's too fast, it's too quick, too much going on, and there's no way you should expect a human being to come up with the right call. They may guess right, but it's truly a guess. They're guessing. No way you could process all that and truly come up with definitively the right call in live action. So let them go look at it and come
help
away
them.
With something.
Help them.
Help you.
Yeah.
Help
me help you.
Help you.
Exactly.
Help them. Help you.
Thank you, Jerry Maguire.
Yes. We'll come back. More of Darren.
You were testing me.
By the way, to Wick at 11:45. This is what I know at 11:45. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Wednesday night. Smashville Live. You know anything about this?
I do.
There's going to be a guest there.
There is.
And he's a guy who wears a helmet. You're like, well, yeah, well, duh. Hockey players wear helmets.
Right. Mm.
But it's got a face mask.
It does. It's a little different.
It's a little bit different. Punter, Titans punter, Brett Kern.
All pro.
Will be all pro. He's the best in the league, in all seriousness. Brett Kern has been the best in the NFL at his position for a good while, and Smashville Live will take place at Cool Springs, or in Cool Springs at Drake's. That's located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard. The show will be from 7 until 8. A limited number of autographs and pictures will be made available, so you'll need to get there early. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Brett Kern, that'll be fun Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because you know, he was at Nashville SC, so we'll get into that. Obviously, supports the Predators and knows some of those guys. So it's another one of those situations where you can kind of bring the sports together, the pro sports together in this town. And I think it's cool how all the players support each other. And I'm sure we'll talk about some things going on in Titanland as well, because it's an interesting offseason for the Two-Tone Blue.
Indeed it is. So I hope a lot of you get out to Cool Springs on Wednesday night from 7 until 8 o'clock. So just kind of talking about how things played out here Saturday night. Look, things right now, when you see this time of year, this is important. That was game 64.
Yep.
So tonight's again versus Edmonton is game 65. And you know, and I brought this up with Ryan Ellis the other night in postgame. Look, you know when you get in the 60s, everything ramps up, right? You got teams jockeying for position or trying to get in position. You know, there's a lot on the line. You get a lot of desperate teams, and it starts having that playoff feel. Now, there's been a little bit of movement, Chase, since we were on the air on Friday. That's happened over the weekend. Currently, the two wild card positions are held by Vancouver and Nashville.
Yep.
Not Calgary and Nashville, but Vancouver in Nashville. Vancouver slid up to the third spot.
They had.
In the Pacific. Vancouver slid down now to the wild card spot.
1 point back of Calgary, 2 points back of Edmonton, who the Predators play tonight. So very tight in the Pacific. Now, Vegas is starting to build a little bit of ground. You know, they pull away, I should say. In that first spot, they have 80 points, so they have a 4 point lead on Edmonton. But all that can change, and Nashville is in a three-way tie with 72 points with Winnipeg and Arizona, and Minnesota 1 point back. So things
just
jumbled.
You think Tuesday night's going to be a big deal?
Yeah.
Minnesota is 1 point back of the final wild card spot that currently the Predators hold. Now, Winnipeg and Arizona are right there on the outside. Those are the two teams in between Nashville and Minnesota. But here's the difference. Nashville holds three games in hand on both of those teams.
Yeah, and
Winnipeg
huge.
And Arizona. And that is huge. Now, obviously, you have to make the best of that. You have to get the most out of having three games in hand. But just think about that. I mean, you've got a possible 6 points on the line that you can get that those teams can't.
Right.
Six extra points.
Yep.
And they've got one game in hand on Minnesota. So it is. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But these games, Edmonton tonight, who's currently second in the Pacific, Minnesota, who's 1 point out of that wild card spot, that's who they play tomorrow night, and then two games against Dallas. That's this week. That's what they have this week. Edmonton, Minnesota, and two games against Dallas.
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting. But but here's the thing, too. Look at tonight, for instance. There are two games on the schedule tonight. Edmonton and Nashville, and then Colorado and Detroit. So with a win tonight, you're gaining some ground, and then you're back in action again tomorrow, where obviously the schedule is a little more loaded. You know, Nashville head-to-head against Minnesota. Buffalo is at Winnipeg, so that one's important. Edmonton and Dallas, that one's important. Vegas hosts New Jersey. So games that matter to the Predators. I mean, these next 2 days, if you win, you're putting yourself in a really good spot because you're gaining points on some teams that aren't going to be in action. And, you know, you're also hoping for a little bit of help from Buffalo as it pertains to Winnipeg. But the only thing you can control are your games and the games that you play, and that's what the Preds have to do, and they know that.
So basically you just told me after tonight Colorado is going to be 1 point out from the division lead behind St. Louis.
Yep. Yeah, because they play Detroit.
Because they play Detroit. And I don't even know why they play. I don't know why they just don't give Colorado 2 points and say, move on to the next game.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I feel like all the alums that were in town this
could
weekend
beat Detroit.
Probably could beat Detroit.
They're bad. They're bad. So, yeah, Colorado.
With me coaching.
Could be 1 point behind St. Louis after tonight. I just think right now, you hate to say this, and it may be premature, but it feels like the top three spots in the Central are just locked.
They are, but unfortunately. I have been steadfast that I have said from the very beginning that Colorado is winning this division, and I am not moving off that.
Well, and that's fine, but I'm saying I think what we're talking about with the Predators is a wild card spot.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It just feels like, now, you know what? You take both games in regulation on Dallas against Dallas on Thursday and Saturday.
The conversation changes a little bit.
You just gained 4 points on them, and maybe, you know, you're. Let's see. They've got one game in hand on the Stars. So there's a 9-point gap between the two. It feels like that's a little bit of a stretch this late in the season, but you know what? Take those games this week in regulation. That's the key. In regulation, and maybe it's a different story. But right now, it just kind of feels like the top three is kind of locked in.
Yeah, and I mean, the Predators.
In no particular order.
The Predators could be, you know, in a position where they get that first wild card spot, which right now that would put them against Vegas in the first round. If they stay in the second wild card spot, they would play St. Louis as of right now, but or Colorado. So I'm with you. I'm thinking it's going to be one of those two wild card spots, but you never know. And look, all those guys that we've been talking about of waiting for them to kind of get it going and get to a next level, if that happens, that changes a lot of things too.
You never know, but when we come back,
you need to know.
You need to tell us what you know. It's TWIC time. This is what I know on the other side. Call in and tell us what you know. It's open-ended. It's easy. Just tell us what you know. 737-1025. We do that to close up hour number two. Your calls next.
You just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yes, we want to know what you know. Tell us what you know. It's TWIC time. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. The best TWIC will win a pair of VIP tickets to the Music City Irish Festival at Bicentennial Capital Mall State Park. That'll be Sunday, March 15th. Now you're saying, okay, well, what does VIP tickets, what does that mean? Chase, listen up.
You will have
access to the VIP area where you can exchange your tokens for beers, sit and relax in the shade, and enjoy the private VIP area.
Ooh, I like that.
Tokens for beer.
I see it. Sign me up.
That's what's at stake as the lines explode. Look, I want that. I do too. I want that VIP.
VIP, very important person.
VIP is for me. All right, what do you got?
All right, this is what I know. Nashville SC, Nashville fans, the city, you should take a bow because even though the result of the game wasn't what everybody had hoped for, 2-1 loss, to Atlanta United. Nashville SC made their debut. I saw SportsCenter talking about it. They set a soccer attendance record in the state of Tennessee, 59,069 people. If I could spit that out. 10,000 shy of the capacity of Nissan Stadium. They had announced, I think, 55,000 tickets Saturday morning. They ended up adding about 4,000 more before the thing was done. So just over 59,000 packed Nissan Stadium. Really, really cool. And everybody involved, of course, we announced our partnership on Friday that you can hear all the games on 94.9 Game 2. But everyone should be excited. Mike Jacobs, their GM, will join us at 1 o'clock. We'll get his perspective on that. But that's what I know. Very, very cool. Very happy for this city.
This is what I know, Chase. While we were talking about Colorado beating Detroit and how pathetic the Red Wings are, one member of that alumni group, because they had a big alumni function.
They did.
What, a little fantasy camp?
Yep.
Alumni function this weekend. One of those alumni texted me and said that, Chase, you are correct, that their team could beat the Red Wings. And then he added, especially with me in the lineup. Mm. So there you go.
So do I have
to
guess?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
But I know this person.
You do. You do.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it at that. Right. I'll tell you during the break.
Okay.
You know what else I know? The OVC men's basketball tournament is set. And you know who's going to kick off the whole tournament in Evansville, Indiana?
Who?
TSU.
The Tigers.
Wins tonight. Brian Collins, head coach, Tigers. We'll take on Morehead State on Wednesday night. So Belmont and Murray State get the byes all the way until the semifinals on Friday. So that's a little perk of finishing 1-2. Austin Peay did not get in the top two. So Austin Peay will get the winner of Eastern Illinois and Jacksonville State, and that will be on Thursday night. So they'll have their championship game Saturday night. And that will be aired on ESPN2. The semifinals on Friday night will be on ESPNU.
Okay.
So that's what I know.
So the OVC tournament is almost here. I mean, it's
starting Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
TSU and Morehead State gets all the action going.
All I know is we're going to review Pick 6 on Friday. You took TSU, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Plus
so did
seven
I.
and a half.
So did I.
Plus 7.5.
You'll take that cover.
We got it. And by the way, you know what else I know? I'm just going to go on and say it right now. You heard it here first. TSU and the Tigers, Brian Collins, Penny,
yeah,
his team, they get it done Wednesday night.
Think so?
They're beating Morehead State.
Okay, I like it.
They will face Eastern Kentucky on Thursday night.
I like it.
I don't even know why they're going to play. It's already over. They have already won. I'm just telling you.
He's calling it.
I know that.
TSU is going to win on Wednesday night.
It's done. Put it down. All right, let's go to your phones. 737-1025. Let's start things off with Adam. He's been waiting patiently. Adam, what do you know?
What's up, man? All right, so, yeah, this is what I know. I actually think being called a nickname isn't the coolest thing in the world, despite our history together. I was at a blackjack table this weekend, and the dealer
Can you say up. Where?
So we went to the Smoky Mountains, but I go to a blackjack table in Cherokee, North Carolina.
Yep, yep. Been
and,
there.
The blackjack dealer walks up and says, "Hey, bruh." And he says, "Bruh," the entire time I'm playing with him. And it sucked. And he walked off, and then he looped back around, hit me with it again. So I'm like, all right, so I've got to be able to grow as a person here. So I'm going to try to, you know, at least acknowledge that it bothered me and respect what I've been doing to people for a while. So it wasn't bro. It wasn't dude. It was bruh. And it really just sent chills up my spine.
Adam, you have grown as a person. That's what I know.
And you know, the willingness to have the dialogue is what impresses
this is good.
Me.
Yeah, well, the whole time, I was getting mad at the table. I actually did pretty good at the table. I was getting mad at the table. I walked away, and I just kind of started laughing. I'm like, I guess this is what he was talking about.
So you just hinted, so you did all right at the table?
Yeah, we did all right. I was there for about 45 minutes, and it felt like two good chews in a row, man. So it felt like two good chews in a row. So it was not bad at all.
Okay.
I think you get a good shoe.
I think actually I had a little bit when we went there, Chase. When was that? Was that last year?
Yep.
I think I did all right for a good while, and then things kind of fell apart at the end, and I may have like broken even or won a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, hey, you get there, you sit there for hours on end, and if that's the worst-case scenario is you win a little bit or you break even, then that's okay.
Yeah.
100%, and you drive over the mountains. It's beautiful this time of year, too. It looked like a bunch of Christmas trees. It's great.
Hey, we stayed there that night.
Yep.
And then we had a big cabin in Gatlinburg, so we drove the next morning to the cabin. And you're right, it was a gorgeous day.
Oh, it was nice.
And that drive from Cherokee to the cabin in Gatlinburg, wow, it's an awesome drive.
Yeah, 100%, man, it was great.
Yep, thanks for the call.
See you guys.
I'll give advice. You know this. And I haven't been a blackjack player that long, but it's all about two things. Got to have a cool dealer.
Yep.
And then the table.
Dealer and the table, man.
And if what happened in Cherokee is I was in a situation where the dealer wasn't very cool and the table was eh, and that's when I started losing.
Yeah, that's like, nah, got to walk away. Man. It's bad when you got that. And once you get that vibe, man, get out of there.
Yep.
Just get out. You'll know when you're at a good table and you've got a good dealer. If you don't have that scenario, get out.
Yep. I had a good table, good dealer, you know, and they switch dealers. They cycle in and out, but kept good dealers going when I was in Baltimore, and it was like I stayed. I didn't move.
Yep. Well, let's go to Nate. Nate, you're up next. What do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. Everybody tonight after the game needs to be aware, because the weather's supposed to get a little dicey once they let us out of the arena. And there's a
dicey in what way? I haven't looked. You talking about just rain?
There could be some severe weather.
There's a slight chance for an isolated tornado. But it's going to be heavy winds and a lot of rain.
Okay.
I used to not mind storms, but after having the past experience of racing a tornado home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate storms. So
that changes your perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
So everyone just be cognizant of what's happening outside tonight.
Right. Because you don't have Storm Chaser on your business card. So that's no good.
No,
and I made that mistake one time
in Bridgestone Arena. And I don't have the armored truck that I can race a tornado with. So
or we just find a ditch under a bridge, Nate, like in Twister.
Nate, let me give you some advice, because I've had this happen to me at this building before. There was a time in my youth where I knew storms were coming and I had to get back to Murfreesboro. The storms were west of town towards where I grew up. And I'm like, you know what? I got time. I can get out. I can get to my car. I can get ahead of it. And then I'm back in the borough, lickety-split. Well, this is where I knew my plan wasn't going to work. The moment that I was out of Bridgestone Arena, my body had gone through the doors, the tornado sirens start going off. I go, huh, this is not good.
Not good.
So I turn around, and I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to stick it out. And then I get told, sorry, you've already left.
What?
Can't come back in.
You're not welcome in here. Good luck to you, though.
And so I go, oh, insert word, run to my car.
Just start running for the Music City parking garage.
Oh, man.
Well, here's the funny thing about this story. That parking garage wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that now. If you get locked out again like you did then, just start running for the garage.
Nate, thank you for the call. Good tip.
Thank you.
Thank you for the heads up. 7 years ago, this is my seventh season on the desk for post and pre and intermissions since Willie moved up to the booth. The first season, if you remember
this, because I was your producer.
Yes. Our broadcast site was at an old area that we used to be at for a long time where we do these radio shows.
Yep.
And it's in the concourse by lots of glass, staring at, what, Fifth Avenue?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
We were doing a postgame show. It was probably this time of year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact time. I think it was probably a game in March. And there were a lot of tornado warnings and stuff going on, and so they were keeping people in the building, and I was doing post game, and Bob Cole came over, who was in charge of the broadcasting, whether it's television or radio, for the Predators, he came over and gave me kind of the wrap-up sign. And I was like, oh, you need me to go to break? He's like, no, I need you to wrap it up, like, right now.
Guys, we got to go.
Like, get away from the glass. Yep. And I was like, all right, Predators win 3-2. That's going to do it for our coverage from Bridgestone Arena. See you next time. And I, like, just we literally, like, yeah, flipped the headsets off and get out. And they wanted everybody away from the windows. And we couldn't leave. So everybody's in the concourse of Bridgestone Arena before we eventually were able to get out of the building.
Meanwhile, rookie producer is sitting there going, well, I got four commercial breaks left.
What do I do with the rest of the log?
And so I think I had to just kind of play through them and just let them play, you know, just to get it in. And
just to honor, like, the commitment.
Yeah. And then, you know, tell the network, you know, down the line of like, hey, you know,
sorry,
this is what we're doing.
It was an abrupt post game.
Yeah. So, but I remember that. Yeah, because and I think Bob, we didn't sell it right. Bob was, I can only imagine how animated he was. We got to go. Guys, we got
to
go.
Well, because I was like, yeah, okay, we'll get to the break. And just, you know, I didn't realize the urgency of, no. He's like, no, like, you need to end the broadcast.
And those were bad storms because then they came down.
I think there had been a funnel cloud spotted in the downtown area. So they were like, get off the air and away from the window.
So my story when I, you know, tried to get back to Murfreesboro, I was on 24. I had just passed Almaville Road in Smyrna. So I had gone past your area, and the storm caught. It had been raining, and it was windy, but then the bulk of the storm caught up to me. And supposedly there were funnel clouds. I mean, it was bad. And I had just missed the Almaville Road exit, which is where I could have gotten off to, you know, just to ride it out. I don't know if you knew this, but a tree going over the hood of a Chevy, it's kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
But
let's squeeze one more in before we get out of here in hour number two. Mike up in Gallatin. Mike, what do you know?
Hey, guys. So what I know is that there's really no reason for you guys to vent about the hockey game. I'm not saying you guys other than you, but, like, us as a fan base, there's no reason to vent on an NHL.com post about how the Preds game goes, because when you post on those threads, you're not only getting, like, you know, Colorado and Nashville friends, but you're also getting Chicago and then all the other fan bases on there. They're just going to continue to trash you and disagree with what you're trying to say. If you want to vent about the NHL or the Preds or the refs or whatever, go to the 102.5 The Game pages. Go to the private – I know we have a lot of blogs on Facebook, different ones, that are just Predators fans.
Yep.
Go find one of those and vent, rant away, and you'll be fine. You won't run into the Colorado fans that call you stupid hicks or whatever, because that's literally what I saw a lot of my friends complaining about the goaltender interference. And I'm just like, guys, stop. Stop wasting your time. You're getting in a fight. It just led to stupid nonsense, which is a waste of time. So.
Good tip, Mike. Thank you. Good stuff.
Thanks.
We'll come back. We will head east. We go to Knoxville to kick off the third hour. That's next.